Chair Tuttle.
Here.
Commissioner Bowl.
Here.
Commissioner Fisher.
Here.
Commissioner Jensen.
Here.
Commissioner Rousey.
Here.
Commissioner Stanger.
Here.
And Commissioner Dirksen.
Thank you. And we did establish that we didn't hear from her.
Correct.
But there might be an email to Kim so we can check tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now it's the time we have set aside for comments from citizens. And I just want to thank everybody for coming tonight. We do have people that have signed up as attending the open house, but we have nothing on the comments from citizens sheet. So if there's anybody that would like to speak, you're completely welcome to do so. You can approach the podium. Does anybody want to talk? Everybody's. Are you sure? It's easy. Nobody bites. No comments. Okay. Well, there. Okay. State your name and address for the record, please, Jake.
My name is Jacob Walker. I live at 15877 169th Avenue, Southeast Monroe, Washington. I was just going through my mind of things that I talked about. I've heard from a couple of downtown Monroe businesses, a couple ideas that I didn't know if it would be right to tell them to the City Council or the Planning Commission, but I assume it would be you guys because bring the ideas to the table. So what I've heard is that from 522 coming in and getting on Highway 2, there's not very much go here signs for going to the downtown area, and what can happen is you can have people going to Leavenworth or something, get off 522 on the 2, and miss the scene entirely. So they were thinking and proposing an idea. This was from the owners of the sisters, old sisters junk.
Junk sisterhood.
There we go. I always mix up the word. But they had a really good idea. They were talking about, you know, on the side of highways, you can have signs for ads like Geno's or gas stations. They were thinking maybe the city or the Downtown Monroe Association could help support or fund a sign like that from 522 coming in by the high school to say, Downtown Monroe, so here are some of the businesses, as a sort of redirect that way. And I think that would be welcomed by a lot of visitors, and it would give them a second thought as they're going through, because everyone loves a good downtown vibrant scene, and I think that we are very lucky to have that in Monroe. That's all I have to say, but thank you guys very much.
Thank you. All right, that was easy. No one else? Okay. The pressure's off. Do you want this?
Yes, please. I'll grab it for me.
I just put a star in my Jake, so. All right, we will move on to the approval of minutes from October 9th. Hopefully everybody had a chance to go through those. And if there are no issues, I'll entertain a motion.
I move we accept the minutes for Monday, October 9th, as written.
Thank you. We have a motion made by Commissioner Rousey. Do you have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Stanger. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. We're good? Okay. And then we can move all the way down to new business, which is number one, unified development regulations, a review of a proposed single family residential chapter. And we will be hearing from Shanna and or Ben. Who's taking
it? Good evening, commissioners. My name is Shanna Russell from the Corners of the City. So in front of you, you have, just to give you a heads up, an extremely rough draft of the potential code for single family residential zoning districts. And high level, when I was working on this, I was thinking of ways to streamline our code and to make it easier for people to read and to also make it more internally consistent. As Ben tends to say, it's frustrating when you see those gotchas in other parts of the code. So you can talk to someone at the counter and you've told them what they can do with their property, and then next thing you know, you're like, oh no, you can't drink them, sir. So the reason I tell you, you know, this is very high level is because we're not going to get into the, typographical errors. I'm looking mainly, I'm asking you to look at concepts, if there's something that's missing, something that doesn't reflect the values of Monroe. And if you don't like the format, that would be great. So generally speaking, I'm just wanting some feedback because this will be back in front of you at the next meeting. So just to start, I stole some of the purpose from the current code and the conflict. It's a mix of both. So I wanted to organize this, like I said, in a very easy to digest manner. So I tried to work down in a way that allowed you to look at the bulk requirements or what they are, to figure out what they are first, and then start talking about the individual zones. And if you look at the permitted uses, instead of listing them all in a matrix, it's what I'm actually used to working with is you have a list for the lowest density and then you just continue to add to that. So like everything in the previous zone plus. And that's the approach I took for this, but if it's if you don't like it, let me know. I didn't put a lot of detail into the uses either because I don't know what you're gonna land on yet, so.
One thing I think you'll notice is a big difference from the existing code to this code is the structure and the way it's laid out. In our existing code, you'll go to one section of the code and you'll talk about single family zones, and then you flip to another section of the code to see what's actually allowed in those single family zones. Then you flip to another section of the code to see what the setbacks are for those single family zones. The approach that Shanna took here, which I also like, is everything's in one spot. And so we even took and dumped the accessory dwelling units in here because that impacts the single family zoning district. A lot of people aren't going to be going to the commercial or other separate chapters to look for accessory dwelling units. And so we tried to marry those things that made the most sense in that chapter. And this is kind of the prototype of what you'll see the other zones, whether it be commercial or industrial, that'll look like. Is you'll essentially have all the industrial related setbacks, uses in one chapter, this will be a chapter, and just separate it out. And so there are a few things that we won't be able to, we won't be able to squeeze everything you need to know if you want to develop an industrial building. Landscaping will be in its own, separate chapter, but the majority of it will be in these bulk dimensional use standards. That go along with each chapter. Like Shanna, I'm used to this in other jurisdictions, and from a planning standpoint and a customer standpoint, I feel it's just a better way to go. So when somebody comes in, you can either print out that chapter and just hand them to it, because especially with one of our you spend the most time usually with homeowners as opposed to developers. Developers, they go out and they hire a professional to come in. The professional already generally knows the background as far as counter calls when you're going up and helping a customer. Homeowners are coming in cold. They don't know anything about this. They have a day job. They have a family life, and none of it involves zoning or building or any of that. And to be able to essentially just print off a chapter of code and sit down and go over it with them and let them take something home, as opposed to let me pull something from here and here and here and here, and they have a stack of paper that doesn't quite match up or make sense to them. This at least, it does a better job of telling the story. It's not an interesting story, but it does a better job of it. And it is, like Shanna said, we're really looking for, because this is the prototype of what we would like to do with the rest of the zones, the format we would like to develop the rest of the zones. You'll see where, and we've discussed this before, where we put X under units per acre, because we'll be doing that buildable lands report as we're developing this zoning code. And so we'll be getting a better idea of that as we go. I think that's about it. Do you have any questions?
Thank you for doing this. And as you know, the comp plan, one of our main goals was simplicity and to make it more accessible for a layperson. The only thing I see immediately that I would want to expand on is the table of contents. So if you do print this out for someone, I was going to ask you if this is meant for commercial or professional versus a residential homeowner or a one-time unit builder. I think some of the language is more for a more experienced customer. So maybe if the table of contents is easier to scan through and kind of so you know which page you want to go to for building height or lot coverage or because there's a lot of content in here. I love tables. I think they make things a lot easier to scan through and figure out. And initially, those are my comments. Who else? Commissioner Jensen.
Yes. So you mentioned that you tried to craft this sort of a start with a low density and then medium adds to it and then high adds to it. So I was trying to kind of get a feel for that. Page 9 under the middle there where any land use is more medium density. And the first one, the following uses are permitted. Let's see, under B1A says all of these is permitted for single family and residential zoning district. I assume it would say parentheses low density there. And then I think, well, does that mean when I turn to page 11 and I see the same thing under B1A, that would reference the medium density? I'm quickly sensing something that is almost just as confusing or at least just as laborsome to someone. They say, well, I'm in high density, so what can I do? Oh, I guess I need to go look at this page. Oh, wait, I got to go look back at this page.
That's a tough
one. I have to start some things that are applicable to high are right there, and others like, I've got to go turn back some pages to find that information. And maybe it's something contained in the medium density, or there's something that points me back to low density, and it feels like I'm, once again, in a different fashion, jumping around. We did a lot of work with the downtown zone changes that we did, and we had a nice table there. There was 5 different districts, I guess you can call it. And I wonder if we only have 3 or 4 or 5 types of zones or areas in this chapter, I would almost rather see a table much like we had in the downtown zone. So one, it matches what we did there. And so it really is a more simplified, okay, I've got this zone, I'll just go down this table, and if I see a check or a letter or whatever it is, I can do it, otherwise I can't. And I don't have to flip pages back and forth. So that was just the first reaction I had, was I think I would rather a table than all this written text that spans so many pages.
Can you respond to that? Is that something that's, is there a reason? Before you move on to the next thing, because then I'll forget.
Okay, I can pause there before I have the comments. Yeah, go ahead.
Now I understand what you're saying. The low, high, medium density is not going to stay in the code. It's just because we haven't landed on a maximum density for those zones. But I understand what you're saying. And so the idea was to streamline it so you didn't just list everything over and over again. But the downtown commercial zone, the table is very easy to read.
Yeah.
So,
can we do a little more of that? Or do we kind of need to be where we're at when we get?
No, that is definitely.
I think that's why they're giving us this today, is that if we want to go to the table
it
now.
Yes, but there might be some things that need to be written down.
Right.
Or there might be some things that are easier for dealing with the customers across the counter. But you think a table's doable?
Yeah, tables are, I mean, they all have their limits. I mean, once, like in the existing way that it is, the table's so big that you just kind of lose yourself in the table, and then you end up with 35 footnotes to the table.
That
you're essentially rewriting, you're writing code in footnotes, which is a bad way of doing things. So that's why we were trying to shy away from tables as much as possible, or at least the older version of where we lumped everything in one table, not to mention it's separated out away from the rest of the code. One thing, going back to what you said about the how we how we say things in code or how we write the code. And it's a constant struggle to write something that is clear to the public, legally defensible, and clear to other professionals. And the example I use a lot of the times is the difference between contiguous and adjacent. Adjacent is a word that a lot of people use all the time. When you say contiguous, you tend to get some looks. But adjacent and adjacent mean this. Contiguous and contiguous mean this. Adjacent means this, and adjacent means this too. And so you can get in real big trouble real fast using the wrong words. And so it's not that it's a point of pride to use confusing words. It's just sometimes it's just those are the correct words for the time. And we are aware of when we're writing the code of trying to make it as simple as possible. Sometimes you just can't get around it. And many times the solution is to basically write more words. And so that's when you come into your balance of, do you want to code this thick, or do you want to code this thick?
We don't want to code this thick.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the constant balance of writing code is that. And kind of like what we were talking about with referencing back to those other ones. It's we're trying not, we have a general goal of what we want to do, but we're trying not to develop the hard and fast rules of we're never going to do this kind of thing. And so that's what we have all the single family in the one chapter. We didn't want to reference back through chapters or titles, but the reference back was to slim those pages down a little bit more. And so we're trying to get every less page we can. But if it turns out that it's not functional, it doesn't work well, then yeah, let's put it back in. You know, I mean, if it's just not working, it's confusing to people, then that's not worth saving a couple pages over. And then again, with the matrix setup, I really swung away in talking with Shanna. It was my strong desire to get away from the use matrix. And that was in the overall big context of it with the 35 footnotes to it. Because again, writing code in footnotes is just not good. That's the thing that people will miss, that little number, and they'll develop their site out or get a conceptual site plan going, and that little footnote can completely change everything.
So what we would normally have put as a footnote to a table, I included in the body of the code, so that, because I can't stand, I'm sorry. So the footnotes that you do have just refer you back to the section that normally would have been the book. So that's how that structure's working.
Yeah. So, but we can try the smaller table by chapter two. I mean, we can definitely throw something together and just see how it flows. I mean, this is...
Maybe just certain parts could be tableized, so mm-hmm. we don't have a huge table, but the more common parts or the whatever maybe could fit the table. I certainly worry that if to make it easier to work with, you end up adding more words, as you say, and essentially repeating the text in each section, now you run into the danger 2 years from now that council makes some change over here, don't realize, oh, we got to change it here and here and here, and we don't do it, and now we start to get that confusion again. So.
Right.
A more expansive table of contents might help that a little bit too, because you could scan through and go right to the section you're looking for instead of having to flip through and search. Point number two
is, and sort of a general question, maybe as much for the consultants, but it might be depending on what the proposal was that was all agreed upon. Since we're now well into the 21st century, what is the likelihood that this document could be fully implemented on computer? And what I mean by that is so that when you're reading on the computer and you're reading, oh, you need to reference this page, but there's a link, and you click it, and it takes you to that page. And you're reading something else, and you click the link, and it takes you to where you need to be, instead of having to flip pages or print out something this thick. And I realize if we don't start with that mindset at the beginning, it'll be an impossible task. But I'm hoping that can be something, you know, beyond just your typical glossary, but that probably should be part of it, that it's easy to find. I can understand why certain things are spread out across the code. Maybe someone wants to just know what's the setbacks, and they go to some chapter on setbacks. and they want to go there to look for their zone rather than go to the residential chapter or to the commercial chapter. But if there was a little small computerized section on setbacks and they can say, oh yeah, I want this one, and it takes them to where they need to be, overcomes, because we are going to lose that ability by condensing everything. That you have to know the right thing to start your look at or you're not going to find it. And so I'm hoping we can have a 21st century document when we're done.
Is there a software that costs $1 million?
Our website's hosted by Code Publishing, and just based on previous experience working with them, they will do it if we pay them well. So they'll do exactly that.
So that's, is that a budget, that's a council budget question, or we're already through the budget now?
We'll start out with Liz, the city clerk, to see if we have paid for it and we're just not taking advantage of it. Other jurisdictions I've worked in have done exactly that. That anytime you reference a municipal code section, it's blue, and you click on it and it takes you there. And you know, every footnotes and everything is linked, so you click on it and it takes you there. But that's a great point, and it's something we should do, because you're exactly right. There are sections, no matter how much you try to consolidate it, that that those things are just by nature spread out, and you need to reference back to those.
Currently.
Commissioner Ball?
No.
Commissioner Stanger?
RCW too, I think, with RCW.
Yep.
Commissioner Grazzi?
I have read the chapters in their current format, and I have to say it's a vast improvement.
Good.
So, I've had a few sleepless nights where I've said, hey, why don't we chapter 18? And I got to say, this actually flows nicely, and I realize that a table of contents in a chart or a graph, table would do a lot better, but this is definitely on the way, so good job.
No comments? All right, Ben Shannon, anything else?
Just one thing, like we said, we'll be bringing you these things at least a couple times. We'll get them up to a point of almost finished, and then we'll put them in a queue, and we'll start on the next one. And then we'll just be bringing big batches back at a time for any final words on these sections, and then we'll take those to 100%. And when we get that all done, we'll bring back the whole lump of everything to you for a final recommendation. And so,
what do you think our schedule looks like right now?
So the timeline I gave you guys, I probably should clarify, gave you guys at the last meeting, put us through, I think, in June with the review, but I'm working really hard to consolidate chapters as much as possible because, as Ben mentioned, ADUs are in this, and also home occupations will be in this, and when the multifamily zone, it's going to refer, and mixed use, it'll reference back to those home occupation provisions.
Do we have to recommend everything all together? Can we do one chapter at a time
and
kind of get?
We can do like it would be more of an informal of, we don't need to comment on this anymore, and then we put it in the queue. Otherwise we'd have to have a public hearing per.
Got it. And it was about the land use or the inventory. The billable land, thank you. That has to coincide with this because you have to fill in those numbers and think through that. So what's the time frame on that thing?
So, to be honest, I've been working on that for a few months now, whenever I can. But it's to verify that we're still going to have adequate capacity when we when we finally get our zone to be consistent with our comp plan. And at this point, pretty sure I'm past all of the really detailed work, so I'm hoping to have this to you, maybe not the next meeting, but the meeting after that. But I've been surprised at how long this has been taking. So I'm sorry you don't have it yet.
No, that's okay. I just know they have to go somewhat together. They correspond a little bit.
Absolutely.
All right, and then do we have on our discussion for
We're going back to low density, medium density, high density. We kind of talked about that a little bit before we went on our field trip, but then we have not. So are we done with that, or is that coming back into play as part of the book?
Yeah, so that's part of the buildable lands that Shanna's doing. And so we'll be able to figure out as far as what, because right now with low density, the comp plan ties us between 3 and 5 units per acre.
Right.
And so we'll be able to, where do we land on that? Do we need 5 units to meet our 2035 build out?
Okay.
Or is it 4 units and take a look at those numbers? And so everything will, flux. If we want, higher unit counts in the high density, then we can lower the low density.
Right, so you bring some options back based on the direction that we gave you a couple months ago.
Yeah, and so when we finish or get the buildable lands to a point where we can, because what Shannon's doing is developing a system where you can just start plugging in numbers and it'll show that fluctuation. So that way we'll have the most accurate numbers we can get. Granted, this is still an estimation and it's not going to be 100%. We're going to be off one way or another regardless, just because you can't absolutely 100% say in 25 years multifamily is going to develop on that parcel. But we'll do our best in past practices and what other jurisdictions are doing. We've actually developed a few formulas that will do a pretty good job at estimating those. One jurisdiction I worked in, we developed somewhat the same formula that we're using for this, and we had better projections than the state did on our future population. So we can hone it down fairly well.
Okay, great, thank you. All right, Commissioner Jensen.
So obviously, with this as a brand new document, we won't be having redline versions comparing to some original document. As a result, is it possible that each time we go through a section, that you could then kind of mark that as, not honestly done, but reviewed? So is it then the changes to the next meeting are the red lines, so that we can more easily, so I think that will help.
Red line every week.
Every week, every couple of weeks, based on what we've gone through or haven't gone through.
Yeah, 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 and that's what we really want is to get it up to a point where Planning Commission is comfortable with the document.
Right.
It may not
have.
We
see it every day, but we're 2 weeks in between, and then it's sometimes hard to remember little stuff that we change, especially some of here.
Right, yeah, and so when we get to that point where you're comfortable and you know it, then we can put that in the queue, put it off to the side, and then we'll come through, because a lot of this stuff, we'll have references back to other sections, and then once we get all of that polished up to 100%, we'll bring it back either in big chunks so you can take one last look at it, knowing that you had basically, you were okay with everything that was in there at the time. Now this is the polished version. You see any typos? Do you see, those kind of things towards the end? And then we'll just go through chunks like that. We'll get them to 100%. And then once we got everything to 100%, we'll have a public hearing.
It'd be March or April.
June.
June.
Yeah. Yeah, June. We're hoping to be through Planning Commission in June. Again, I've been telling everybody this. That's an aggressive schedule. And we discussed earlier that the commission would prefer to have extra meetings on the
Yeah, let's get it done. We want to get it done.
Perfect.
Would that be June having completed public hearings, mm-hmm. or is that when public hearings would start?
Yeah, but I mean, hopefully wrap up in June.
So public hearings probably in May.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's one of those things where if we had the public hearing in the first meeting in June, and say it went over, and then we went to the first meeting in July, I'm not going to get too worried about that. It's just June's the target when we should be in a hearing of some kind.
Just for clarification,
absolutely.
Regarding the red lines, because this structure is drastically different from what we have now, is it okay if I go through and just mark what has changed?
I think it's from here forward.
Okay, so the next chapter. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Or anything we change in this.
In just this document that was presented.
So once we've reviewed it or not, looked at it, then it suddenly that's, I say, accepted changes in a sense, and then whatever our comments were, that makes new red lines for in the next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ben. All right, well, we have a little bit of a short meeting tonight. Thank you. think we're hoping for 5 minutes of peace from all the people in the audience. So we'll move in on to a discussion by commissioners and staff, and we will start with Ben.
No real big updates. Our main focus right now is exactly what we've been talking about, is the unified development regulations and getting those out. Shannon's going to be focusing on that. Anita and Amy are going to be handling the bulk of the current planning, which is quite a bit. I had commented to some of the people that I spoke to tonight that it's not the optimal time to be doing a major code overhaul in kind of our peak development time, but we're still going to, you know, keep moving forward with it. So as much as we're really going to try to stick to the schedule, but there may be some times where current development just boils up and we have to focus on that for a little bit. And so that may not get back, but our goal is to stick to that June timeline.
How are we doing on current development?
We're doing well. Everything is still moving forward with those, the existing developments up there. Mainview Homes just bought a plat that was called Gil Martin. It was a 24?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, 24, 28 lot plat that was privately owned. So they've purchased that. Amy is actually working on a smaller plat for Mainview Home right now.
Where is it? Do you know they're currently constructing the stormwater ponds there for Eaglemont 4 Eaglemont 5. So it looks like it's already under construction, kind of, but there are 16 lots to the north of the stormwater ponds that are being put in. It's very much within the Eaglemont 4 division. You can't really tell there's any difference.
Okay. And then the as you drive up Chain Lake and on the corner, the development that's real noticeable there, they have some model home permits in. So you're allowed to develop build a certain percent of homes prior to getting what's called final plat of finishing everything out and getting acceptance from the city. So there, you're gonna see a few homes, maximum four, starting to build there, but they're hoping to get all their construction done in about 2 weeks. And then so they'll be done with that, and then they look at their full home build out process.
How many homes are going in there?
Is that 88?
That one's 88, yeah, Eastern Cove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Pulte who's doing that one.
Oh, okay. Did we go up there?
No, we didn't go that far. Did we drive by it?
We went to another Pulte.
We went to a different Pulte.
We went to Duval Pulte. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about on the business front, development wise, or?
So kind of somewhere this mix between call between residential and retirement community. There's kind of a mix. It's part memory care, part assisted living, and part retirement community. I think they have 163 rooms, and we just had a pre-application meeting with that group that would. It's down by the corner of Frylands and West Main, where the roundabout espresso area is. So, just go through those two roundabouts and across from the gas station. There's that it used to be a little used car lot on the corner there. It was an old Mastro property.
Yeah.
And then there's a house that's
up on the hill.
Yeah, there's an abandoned house up there that's come up there several times.
Is that mixed use or that's a?
That's service commercial. Yeah, so the retirement homes are allowed in there with a conditional use permit.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we just, that's probably the biggest one that we've had. And this was a while back, but still looking for uses for the old medical office across from the hospital there. I pitched them a couple of different ideas. but yeah, that would be a primary there. Anita, you worked with on a pre-application meeting and when did a site visit with the representative for the owner.
They just really want to be across from the gas station?
Do they really want to be across from the gas station?
Place. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It's close to a highway, so maybe that's part of it.
My big sell to them was
industrial over there.
Yeah, my big sell was to try to push them downtown in the, what was the, what
part of the neighborhood? Yeah, the east downtown.
Because you would have had great, great walking distance to the shops down there and food and everything.
Well, what do you think the draw is over where they're choosing? It seems odd.
Probably just because there's nothing really there. And I mean, there's not much in the way of existing structures. Maybe I don't know what the price is. Maybe the price is right. It's been around for a while and nothing's really happened on it. Yeah, like I said, the closest thing we had to a business was a small used car dealership on the the corner there. And that was about it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon?
Oh, I just wanted to say to everyone out here and to you that if you go to the website for the UDR, for the code renovation, my contact information is on that page. Additionally, because I know when you put comments in the comment box, it's kind of like black box, you have no idea where it's going. Those also come directly to me. So if you want to speak with me, my information's on there, or you can send me an email, either way.
Yeah. Nothing to report besides what Ben has already talked about, our current development projects coming in. I did just receive an application for a 7-lot short plot. Also working on Raspberry Hill. So that was the rezone came through, and then we're going to hearing next month for preliminary plot.
Okay. Amy?
Along with Ben said, I'm working on a lot of parent planning and along with code enforcement and business licensing and a lot of counter questions.
What are you mostly doing in code enforcement?
So I've been directed in code enforcement to work on a complaint basis. So I'm not out looking for issues that would take quite a few staff members to get that done. So
did everybody hear that?
Yeah, complaint basis. I work on a complaint basis for the most part, unless I'm given direction to work on a specific task.
Okay.
And so I have made a full inventory of signage.
Oh, really?
Temporary signage in the general commercial zone.
What's going to happen with that?
We are just going to let people know that they, you know, you have a banner, you're using it as a temporary permanent sign, here are the regulations. It really is just, it's not enforcement, it's really just education and giving people, helping people understand what the code says in relation to signs.
Will enforcement happen?
So yeah, that would be direction, yeah, I'm directed to, definitely.
Yeah, so we're going to, similar to the downtown, start off with, I mean, 90% of your code enforcement is simply that people didn't know.
Right.
And so it's just, it's education and going around. Unlike the downtown, Amy went to each business in the downtown and talked with them, which was a great approach. Unfortunately, the general commercial zone is so big and you don't have, the people at the front counter don't own the building. That one, it may be a little more difficult just getting that communication to the people. So
do you have a letter or something?
Yeah, I feel like letters are better in that sense.
Yeah.
Not walking in and speaking to an employee that just started last week and has no idea what they're talking about. It's better to send a letter directly to the business owner.
Okay. You got your steps in, I gave up. Leanne, do you have anything?
I don't think so.
All right. Commissioner Jensen?
Question I have, and it might not be something you haven't answered because it's probably outside the city limits, but what did they do on Tester Road? Did they put in a sewer line outside the city limits? They dug up the road, put a trench, put something in, then they've covered it over, and it seems like it's been a month barely covered over, and it's like, did the project stall? Do you have any information on that? It's just past the high school.
Yeah, I can find out, but no, I haven't even heard it. You're the first one to bring it up.
It might be because it's county, and maybe that's why nobody knows anything. But
right.
Yeah, it's a mess, and it's been that way a long
time. We don't leave the road that way.
Huh?
You know,
because the cones are up, so it looks like they're still planning to do something. It's been sitting for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was curious if it was actually sewer, given that we just were recently talking about.
Right.
Code things and not putting sewer out past city limits.
I'm almost positive it's not sewer. I don't know of any request that's come in for sewer in that area.
But you don't know what it is?
I don't know what it is. The only thing it may be that the city's involved with is like a water line replacement. But I'll talk to Brad and find out. Because it's the first time.
I mean, it almost looks like they might even, there's like a staging area.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if there's if there's some development going in, and this was something to facilitate whatever might potentially, if there was a development going in there.
Okay.
Is there a city logo on the truck?
Well, I don't know if I've seen trucks myself. But
it's just some construction.
But the way it seemed to be handled doesn't seem very...
The road's just bumpy, and they just kind of did a really fast and dirty asphalt job.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And it's just a terrible road. It's been that way for a while, so I don't know what they're doing. So anyway, that's what you're talking about. Right?
Yeah, that's it. That's spot. I don't think I have any other questions.
Commissioner Massey?
Yeah, nothing to follow that.
Commissioner Fisher?
I have nothing to follow
that. Commissioner
Ball? Just a question about the Parks Master Planning meeting on the 1st of November. Are planning commissioners encouraged to go? Or?
Yes.
Okay. There's not four?
No, we can make it.
If we know ahead of time, we can notice it for a potential quorum. Potential planning commission meeting. We just need not ahead of time.
Well, I'll be there.
Are
you going to be there?
I plan to.
There's two.
Are you speaking of the joint parks and council meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there.
This is on November 1st?
Yeah. You're trying to notice it? I think it's already
passed.
Okay.
So I won't go.
No, I think
you said it's on the 1st.
We should have already noticed it. Based on the, just as a public meeting, right?
What's that?
It's actually, that's not nice. It would already be noticed as a public meeting with the parks first.
Yeah, but I think I need to notice it separately if you guys are going to be there.
Yeah, so yeah, we would just have to notice it separately. And
so if you tell me right now, I can notice it
tomorrow. Is it November 1st?
I don't believe it is.
That's a Wednesday. November 1st is a Wednesday.
Yeah. The meetings are on
the... The mayor says it's the 1st.
What?
60.
Yep. On November 1st, the mayor will both host a meeting open house.
It was about flat out the press.
Yeah. There's been good turnout for that, so...
Is that the one where they're going to talk about what they want to do with the cabinet side?
There's already some plans drawn.
I think I was hoping to get to that.
Yeah.
So. We'll just notice it.
Yeah, thank you. You have time before the 1st?
Yeah, we can, we don't, we can go all the way up to 24 hours before.
Oh, okay. I thought it was. Anything else, Commissioner Ball?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Stinger?
Nothing for me.
Shocking.
Just not much for... I'm not curious like you guys. I'm not curious.
There one thing I forgot to talk about. So while we're in a rush on a code amendment when the city, it was 2016, they did the code amendment to change everything to the gross density calculations and pulled all the code out that talked about the removal of the 20%. We came across a remnant 20% code that was in there. And so typically we like to have two meetings for something like that. This one, we're probably just going to go straight to a public hearing because it's something that's already been discussed.
Yeah.
And then just go from there so we can get that amended so people can kind of move forward with it. Exactly.
Okay,
well,
for me, we did have a parks meeting on Thursday. And we did look at the plans for the cabinet property. And so, and people in the audience, if you can go to that, it's very informative and it's pretty cool what they've laid out for camping sites and boardwalks and zip line and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it'll be neat.
When is it?
November 1st.
I believe it's November 1st.
What time?
It'll be
6:00.
And it should definitely be on the website,
okay,
too, if you forget, like I did.
Would you guys point it out on the map? I think she was saying
yes.
Is that
okay? Oh, where's the cabin site?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, park.
Just right over by Sky River, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it will.
Yeah. I mean, you drive around behind it. Yeah, that's the area that
behind Miracle Field.
Yeah. Yep, everything kind of converges around with the that area where the boat launch and the back of the park and then the cabin. Anyway, it's pretty cool, but definitely public opinion would be nice and input. And that's mostly what we talked about, so. And then there's gonna be some we're doing Sky River Park, I think, next year. New play structure. And then there's some more things going in the Lake Tide Park and an attempt at some AstroTurf.
Field turf,
thank you. That's an old term.
Astros
for the 70s. I'm from the 70s. And there was one other thing. Oh, they're going to be digging some of the stuff up at Sky River for drainage out in the field again, because all that fancy system we put in has a bunch of little holes in it, and it's kind of plugged up. So, cool. That's all I know.
One more thing.
Yes.
Since you just mentioned drainage. Okay. So, on 154th, as it winds its way through Blueberry area, every time you get the heavy rain, water pools on the road. They put up signs right there where the water is. And it's like, that's kind of pointless. You've already gotten there. Sometimes why, it's like, at this point, you're not going to turn around and go a different route. You're just going to take your chances and go through it. Would it be possible as a city policy to put an additional sign at 179?
Yeah.
And on Kelsey.
I can.
You know before you even turn onto Blueberry that it's going to be covered with water and go a different way.
I could definitely talk to Brad about that.
Okay.
I think it's there not so much to divert you another way, but just for you to slow down.
Yeah.
Because if you get water in your intake, it's going to ruin your engine. If it splashes up and gets in your intake, you get a lock in your engine.
You say that now, but of course, eventually there probably will be a hole in the road because somebody's going to drive into it.
Because of the water.
I mean, I don't know what's causing it. I mean, how many times has the city fiddled with that thing and it seems like it still backs up?
Yeah, it's one of those things that is, you know,
it's
most
better
of, yeah.
than it used to be.
Yeah, most of our old roads were, you know, just these gravel driveways that somebody built at one time, and a lot of the times for fill they like to put old stumps and trees in there before we had standards, you know. I mean, you're talking back in the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and it happened to probably every city in the United States. And so these old roadbeds, you know, slowly have decay over time, and you get these things that sink and sink and sink, and without doing major overhauls to them and you know, a lot of money to fix it. Another problem that they run into, especially with storms and our new stormwater regulations, is you're allowed to do an overlay on a road, grind to do an overlay without installing additional stormwater treatment. But the second you break down to that road base, now you're installing more stormwater treatment, which you've just taken that price of that project and doubled or tripled or quadrupled it. And so so that's one thing that it's, you know, the retrofits are slow. And we're doing them, but if you had to do it on every road, you would see the number of public work projects just absolutely plummet because just the cost associated with it.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn for
Denver.
Motion made by Commissioner Jensen to adjourn the meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bull. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?